is Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Amen. And I love that video, and in fact, we're gonna think a little bit more about that video as we move through the message today, and we just talk about some of the things that I think that Easter is designed to teach us and to show us. And I want to encourage you guys, after service today, we're gonna have some popcorn. We'll have, I think, the rest of the donuts out. We'll have a egg hunt outside for the kids. For those of you that don't have kids, stick around, because it's a lot of fun just to watch them. We have them set up so they're at the far end of the field, and then they run towards you as they're getting the egg. So it's a cool moment, and I think that it's a good time for us to celebrate as a church family. We'll hang out for probably, you know, 20 minutes or so after service, maybe 30 minutes, and then you guys will be free to go on with your Easter plans. But before we get to all of that, I do believe that God has a word for us today. And I know that that God has been speaking to a lot of us in here. I just want to encourage you guys today with a few thoughts. Have you ever had a moment in life where things feel heavy? I had a moment like this where I was almost fired from a job. It was my very first job. I was working at a guy's house. He had, 50 or so cows. And so it was, you know, kind of this small farm operation. He had some heavy equipment that he let me play around with. But before he would let me do any of that stuff, he put me on these jobs that were maybe, well, I felt like a little bit beneath me. And so he asked me to do some jobs, and I did them, and then I would check the schedule, and I noticed that I wasn't getting scheduled very much. So I go up to him, and I'm like, hey, how come I'm not getting very many hours? I thought we were going to move up to this other thing, and it seems like you're moving me back instead. He's like, Jeff, yeah, I got to be honest with you. He's like, you don't work very hard, and you take a lot of shortcuts. He's like, the other day I saw you weeding in the garden, and you kind of sat down and you grabbed the bucket and you pulled a couple weeds. And he's like, you just weren't moving very fast. He's like, if I'm going to have people that are employed by me, I need to make sure that they're going to do things not just the way that I want them done, but I need to make sure that I'm doing quickly, because I'm paying you like a whole $6 an hour. I know, it was a while ago. And so he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you for an hour, again, a whole $6. I want you to go over to Les Schwab, and I want you to sit in their parking lot for an hour, and I want you just to watch them work, and just to watch how they move. And he's like, when you come back, I want you to move like that, right? This was a lesson that stuck with me for the rest of my life. I mean, I still remember this to this day. I'm so grateful to that man for having the decency not just to push me aside, but instead to bring me in and to say, hey, here's how you can be better. But there was another moment where I didn't almost lose my job. I actually did lose my job. And it was actually our first youth pastor position when we were in a small town called Oakville. We had a change in leadership, and the new leader and I there was some conflict there. And so after 3 months, he called me in and he's like, Jeff, I'm letting you go. And so then I have to go home and tell my wife and my, you know, I know I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old at home, and I've got to go home, and I've got to tell them what has happened. And I think Olivia was actually 3.5, so Caden was like 5.5. Anyway, so I have to go home, and I have to tell Tiffany that, hey, I don't have a way to feed our family anymore. And things just felt heavy in that moment. There was a lot of emotions, a lot of things going on. So I go home, I sit Tiffany down at the dining room table. I'm like, babe, I need to let you know something. Grab her hand, I look her in the eyes, and I'm like, I was let go today. She looks back at me, she's like, okay. She gets up, she grabs a box, and she starts packing. And I'm like, wait, can't we just sit here for a moment? Can't we just sit in the weight of this for a moment? This is a heavy thing. And I don't know how I'm going to fix it. And so there was this immediate pain where I wondered if I was going to be able to provide for my family. I wondered if my ministry career was over. This was the first position that I had had. And I was feeling it. It was heavy. Things were hard. And the truth is, I actually forgot my illustration over here, so let me grab it for a second. You got times in life that just feel heavy, don't you? And it feels like you're carrying a burden. It feels like things are hard to handle. And no matter what you do, everything is just harder. For us, it was 3 months before we got another position. I had to move back in with my parents. My kids actually loved it, so it was good for them. But for Tiffany and I, we were constantly terrified that they were going to break things. And it was heavy. Things were hard. You know, there's that immediate pain, like on Good Friday, where Jesus is crucified. And it's like, man, things are over. And then there's this season of a Saturday where you're sitting, you're wondering, and you're waiting. It's not the pain of Friday, and it's not the victory of Sunday either, but it's that silent time in between. And that's what I think God wants us to focus on today. Is there's the questions. There's the doubt that we experience during that time. There's the fear of what's going to happen next. There's the pressure of everything that's going on around you. And if we're honest today, a lot of us in here came in carrying heavy things. We came in with a rock. We've got regrets that we're dealing with. We have fear. We have challenges in our marriage. We've got relationships that are off. Out of order. We're struggling with addiction. There's financial stress that's happening. You've got all of these different things that are weighing on you, all of this anxiety about the future. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know what to do. And our question then is, can my life actually change, or is it just going to be this way forever? Is this the new normal? Do I just have to live with the stone on me all of the time? Some of the questions you might be asking are, can my life really change? Can I really be forgiven? Is God real, or is this just tradition that we're going through? Did Easter really happen, or is this just a story that people tell? Some of you are here today and you're not sure what to believe. And that's okay. And I want to encourage you that this is the best place for you to be. You've got a community of people here that have wrestled and struggled with some of the same doubts, some of the same questions that you have, that have been through similar relationship problems, that have faced similar financial stress. But the difference is, what we have found is that when we follow Jesus, he makes our life better. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that today. I don't know your story, and I don't know the weight that you're carrying around. I don't know the people that hurt you. I don't know the arguments that you've heard. And you might have a hard time believing everything that's written in the Bible. And this is, I'm going to make a statement now that might shock a few of us. The real question isn't whether this is 100% accurate. Now, I'm not saying that we don't believe everything that's written in the Bible, because I do believe that this is 100% accurate. But if you're struggling today, just go ahead and set that aside for a minute. And what I want you to focus on is one moment. I want you to focus on one time. I want you to ask the question today, what happened on Easter, and why does it matter? What happened on Easter, and why does it matter? Because in the Bible, everything hangs on this moment. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that if Jesus did not die and if Jesus did not rose again, then what you just attended today was a concert with a really good motivational speaker. Yeah, all right. All you've done is you've just gone to a place with some music and some speaking. And in fact, what Paul says is if it didn't happen, then the people that believe this stuff should be pitied, should be considered to be foolish. But what I want to ask you today, and what I want you to consider today, is what if it did happen? What if God really did rise from the dead? Because if it did happen, then it changes everything. And so I want us to look at this moment together. We're going to be in the book of Mark today. This is the second of four Gospels. And so I want us to start thinking about this. And we're going to look at this together because if it's a real, then the empty tomb is proof that your life doesn't have to stay the same. The things you're going through, the weights that you're carrying, don't have to stay the same. The empty tomb is proof that you can have a new and a different life. And so let's go together to the moment that changed history. We're going to be in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I've got up here, I want to put on the screen an image of an ancient Jewish burial tomb. Now, Mark is one of the four accounts that we have of the life of Jesus that were written in the Bible. And it's probably the first one that was completed. John Mark traveled with three of the apostles, Paul, Barnabas, and Peter. And this book here is considered to be the Apostle Peter's account of what Jesus' ministry was like. Because Peter was one of his closest followers. He was around him all the time. After the crucifixion, which we talked about on Good Friday, after the crucifixion, Jesus is buried in a tomb that might have looked something like this. And there's a large stone that is rolled in front of the cave. Matthew tells us that the Pharisees were worried that something might happen because Jesus had told people that he was going to die and be raised again. He was going to be killed and would come back 3 days later. So they asked the Romans to position guards in front of the tomb to make sure that nobody could mess with the body. And so now we have we're actually going to be in Mark 16. Now we have in Mark 16, as there are, it's now Sunday morning. So we've been through Friday, we've been through Saturday. It's now Sunday morning, and there's a group of women who are going, and I want you guys to notice what they're going to do. The Bible says, Mark 16, 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. The other Gospels tell us that they not only bought the spices, but that they prepared them. So there was some intention involved in this. This wasn't just going and picking up some flowers on your way to a hospital room. There was some thought and care put into this. They prepared the spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' body. Verse 2, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Now, I want to just stop here for a second, because what you have to realize is these ladies got together, they paid money, they spent time preparing, they walked to the tomb, and while they were walking to the tomb, they had this discussion of who was going to roll the stone away. And this is because they expected Jesus to do what all dead people do, stay dead, right? They expected that Jesus was going to be in that tomb. And not an alive Jesus, they expected to find a body. Nobody expected no body, right? Nobody expected that when they walked into that tomb that there wouldn't be a corpse there that they were going to be staring at. And so what we see here is we have these women who are, they're hurting, they're grieving, they're trying to make sense of what's happened. Jesus was arrested on Thursday. He was crucified on Friday. On Friday evening, they celebrated the Passover feast together. On Saturday, they're sitting in silence. On Sunday, they get up and they go to the tomb. And their whole life has been changed in an instant. For 3.5 years, they had followed Jesus around. They had heard the stories. They had been around Jesus. They knew his teachings. They were excited when he rode into Jerusalem just a week earlier, thinking that this was going to be the time when the Messiah was going to rise up and overthrow the Roman government. And now just a week later, just even a couple days later, everything has fallen apart. Everything is different. Everything is changed. They were hurting. They were grieving. They didn't know what to do. And the fact is, it wasn't just their teacher that was dead. This was a dream of theirs. They thought something unique was happening. Something special was happening. And the dream was dead. And now they don't know what to do. They didn't know what to become of them. They had put all of their eggs into this one basket. And now, in a moment, it was all gone. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I don't know if you've ever had situations like that where it feels like in a moment everything is torn apart, everything is in shambles. You lose your job, you find out that you've got a diagnosis, you hear that you know your friend is misunderstood something you said, and now there's this whole conflict, there's this whole challenge, and you don't see a way out. You don't see how it can get any better. You're walking, you're going through the motions, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you're going expecting a body. You're going expecting that Jesus is dead. When Jesus died on the cross, the movement died with him. There is no Christianity if Jesus stays dead. Because the Bible tells us that the disciples left. They scattered. They were headed out of town. The people that had been following him all believed in him so much that when he died, they knew it was over. The movement died with him. But Mark 16:4 tells us a different story. It says, when they looked up, so I imagine they were probably walking to the tomb like this. I don't know. They looked up, and what did they see? They saw that the stone, which was very large, says, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. As you would be if you expected to find a body, and instead you get a jump scare of some guy just hanging out in the tomb. He says, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid, which is typical when people see angels. In fact, just about every time in the Bible when somebody sees an angel, the first thing the angel has to say to him is, don't be afraid, don't worry. Hey, I know this is different than what you expected, but just hear me out for a second. He says, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. One more time. He has risen. He is not here. And then he turns and he looks and he says, look, you can see where his body was. You can still see the blood stains. You can still see, you can smell the decay, right? You can smell what it was like in here. You can see where the body was, but there is no body because he is risen. And that same power, the Bible tells us, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, wants to live inside of you. He wants to do it for you as well. And you can just imagine what these ladies are going through, because in an instant, their grief turns into joy. By the middle of the first century, the gospel had spread from Jerusalem across modern-day Israel, Syria, and Greece. We're going to put a map up on the screen here. This is Paul's third missionary journey that took place in the AD 50 or something like that. You can see the different areas that he went to around the Mediterranean there, and there were churches already in a lot of those locations before he even showed up. This was, of course, his third journey, so he had already done some of this before. The gospel had already started to spread. There was already people talking. Jesus was crucified in AD 33. By AD 50, things were different. There was a new momentum. This gospel had gone from Jerusalem, had begun to spread throughout the world. And in the first 100 years, 120 followers had become hundreds of thousands of people that were believing in Jesus and covered most of the Roman Empire. This movement was persecuted intensely, and yet it continued to grow. The first martyr was killed just a couple of years after Jesus died, and the Pharisees said, hey, the people kind of like this. We should do it more often. And so there was this outbreak of persecution that broke out, which led to the church scattering, which led to the gospel being proclaimed everywhere. Acts 8 tells us that a great persecution caused the early church to scatter. And in AD 44, so AD 33 is when Jesus died. In AD 44, the first of Jesus' 12 closest followers was executed. And yet, even in spite of that, the church continues to grow. And so one of our questions today, as we're wrestling with this idea of the resurrection, is what happened that caused a group of scared fishermen? Peter denied Jesus before Jesus had even been crucified, but all of them ran, all of them scattered, all of them were in hiding. What caused a group of scared fishermen to become bold preachers of the gospel? If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, what happened to the body? If the Pharisees had it, all they had to do was produce it. If the Romans had it, all they had to do was say, here is your king, and the whole movement is dead. Because all of it was built off of this one idea: what happened on Easter? What happened on Easter? On Saturday, the church was dead. On Sunday, it was more alive than it ever had been. As cool as that is, talking about tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, remember that each number represents a person with a story, a person who was talked to, who believed in God, whose life was changed. When 3,000 people give their hearts to Jesus 50 days after Easter, that's 3,000 people who not only believed, but their lives were changed in the process. Because the real story of the resurrection isn't seen in the big, it's seen in how God works inside of us. It's seen in what Jesus has done for you and me. And so because of the resurrection, we believe that death was defeated, and so we can have eternal life. We believe that we can have a relationship with God, and we were adopted into his family. We believe that we can have hope and peace in the storms of life, and we believe that God wants to give us meaning and purpose in this life. 1 Peter 1 says it like this. It says, praise be to God, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You see, Jesus died to give you a new identity. He died to give you greater stability. He died to give you a life of purpose, and he died to give you a glorious future, because he is risen. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I wrestle with, and in just a second, Brooke, we're going to have you come up. So one of the things that I think about, though, is when I'm thinking about this idea of the resurrection, I say, what would it take, and this is something that all of us, especially those of you with siblings, what would it take for you to believe that your sibling was the son or daughter of God? Just think about growing up with them. Think about all of the things that they said and did, all of the times that they persecuted and tormented you. What would it take for for you to believe that your sibling was the son of God? It'd be impossible, right? And yet the Bible tells us that James, who wrote the book of James, was Jesus' brother, grew up with him, knew him, saw him inside and out, and something happened after the resurrection that convinced even James to believe that his brother was the son of God. It's amazing to think about. But like I said, it's important to focus not just on the big picture, but on the individual lives that have been changed as well. And so I'm going to have Brooke come up. She's going to talk to us for a minute just about what the resurrection looks like in our life today and how God wants to change us. And so, Brooke, how long ago was it that you moved here?
A little under 2 years ago. It was July of 24.
Okay. So a couple years ago, she moved to Moses Lake. And when you first moved here, what was that season of life like for you?
So I pretty much picked up my entire life and moved here. I knew one person up here. It was my first time living on my own. It was my first time living anywhere other than in Lewiston with my family. I believe it was September, the transmission of my car went bad, so I ended up with a new car. I had just graduated college with my nursing degree, so it was my first time with a big kid job. And so it was literally like my whole life changed within, I'd say, like 4 to 6 months.
Wow. So what ended up then, because you were in church, you were involved in church back then, but what brought you, why did you want to come to church, and what brought you here to Generations Church?
I Googled churches near me. And
come on.
And looked for a church that looked like it would have young people. And I thought, Generations, they should have young people. Yeah. I was wrong.
We do now.
We got
young people now.
I walked in 10 minutes
late. Brooke was the first of many.
Yeah. Yeah, so I walked in 10 minutes late, and I was still greeted at the door, which was insane. But I walked in, and I went, oh, crap. So it was interesting.
Yeah. And what you said you were greeted, but tell,
yeah,
and feel free to name drop some of the people that greeted you that day.
So I walked in about 10 minutes late through the front door, and Carol, I think she's hiding back there. She's still out there. I think
Carolyn
Sunday.
Yep.
She hides out there and she watches for people. Yep. She's still out there. I'm sure she's watching out the window. But yeah, she greeted me at the door. She was super excited that I was here. She gave me like a little goodie bag with like chocolate and a water bottle in it. And then I sat in the very back, and Mickey was sitting right in front of me. I don't know where Mickey is today. She was wearing purple. And
might be helping set up.
I don't know if it was during worship or if it was like in that greeting time, but she turned around and she asked what brought me to I don't remember if it was Moses Lake or if it was Generations Church. So a lot of what brought me to Moses was God. Like I really felt like God was calling me to this area. Mm-hmm. But obviously I got a job up here. Mm-hmm. And so I said, oh, I'm a nurse. Well, Mickey's a retired nurse. Mm-hmm. So she
I love how God puts things together like
that. After service, she like grabs my arm and she just shows me off. She's like, she's a nurse, and immediately started trying to recruit me for a medical missions in Nigeria, which anyone that knows Mickey knows that's always her motive.
That's her passion.
That's her thing.
Yep.
So yeah, we were planning on going to Nigeria in fall, and because of everything that's happening with the war and Christian persecution over there, that ended up not happening, but I'm still hopeful and God's still moving, so. Mm-hmm.
What has it been like? How is your life different now that you've become part of this community? You're leading things here, and you're on the worship team. How's your life changed since you've become part of the community?
Well, I played a lot of like band instruments growing up. I played saxophone and clarinet and trombone, and I think I had told someone, I don't know if it was you or if it was someone else, that I played other instruments. And so I think probably about a year ago now, Jeff was like, hey, we don't have a bass player. You want to learn? And I was like, oh no, I kind of sucked at the guitar when I tried that. And so now I play bass. I'm also helping with youth ministry, which has been really powerful, and it's been really interesting seeing how God has prepared me for these things in ways that I couldn't even imagine. Like I helped with, when I was in high school, I helped with like as a student leader. Mm-hmm. And so I had had some small things that like prepared me for that, that I never would have even imagined that God would make me a nurse, but then also help with youth ministry. And God would give me these other musical things that I did. And then he would say, actually, we're going to play a different one, and you're going to help on worship team.
Yeah.
And so it's been really beautiful seeing how God has turned my hobbies into things that glorify him.
Yeah, amen. So I want you just to take a second. If you could say anything to people that are feeling maybe alone, isolated, you know, like you did when you first showed up in Moses. Like, what would you say to people?
Yeah, so like I said, when I moved up here, I knew one person. It was someone that I had met at a youth ministry thing when I was in high school. And they, like, rarely talked to me. So when I moved up here, the number one thing that I did was I knew that if I didn't have a community, that I was going to burn out so, so fast. And so, like I said, first thing I did was search churches with a young adults ministry. And then through that, I've gotten connected to a young adults ministry that is like has multiple churches involved, as well as a Bible study. But the biggest thing is look for a community. Like, how do you expect to not be alone if you keep isolating yourself? So, take that on yourself. Find a community that not only is people that you like, but people that have the same goals as you. Mm-hmm. I knew that for me, my faith is important to me, and so I need to find people that have like-mindedness. Otherwise, I'm going to be pulled away from God.
Yeah. Awesome. Can we give Brooke a hand? Stand there. Thank you. He is risen. Yeah. You see, the resurrection isn't just an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's still changing lives today. And it, again, if you feel like you are isolated and alone, one of the amazing things that God did is he put together a group of Christian communities where you can come and where you can find people to encourage you, to love you, to help you. I mentioned the idea of doubt earlier. I think that doubt is a way of working out our faith and finding out what God has for us. And I want you to know that all of us in here have wrestled with the same questions that you're wrestling with right now. So don't think that you have to have yourself all put together before you come back to God. But the resurrection means that God is still bringing dead things back to life. That God is still bringing dead things back to life. He's bringing hope back to life. He's bringing purpose back to life, because the same God who rolled the stone away is still at work today. Amen? Amen. So what feels heavy? What is the burden that you've been carrying? What is the thing that you've been wrestling with? What feels finished? What is it in your life that you're like, man, this is just over. It's not only dead, but it's been buried. And you're like, I need to do something with this. What are you grieving today? We believe that God, the same power that rolled the stone away, is still at work in you today. You're not too far gone. You're not disqualified. Your story isn't over. Your life can change. And the empty tomb is proof of that. Empty tomb is proof that your life doesn't have to stay the same. Because Jesus didn't come just to make your eternity better, but he came to make your life better and to make you better at life. So if you've been feeling hopeless or hurting, today is your day to make a change. Today is your day to come back to God. a way to think about this, and just the gospel in a nutshell, the Bible calls this the good news. The good news is that God and humans were once together. God loved the world, but something happened. We call it sin, and it caused a gap between us and God. And there was this chasm that we couldn't cross on our own. But because of Jesus, he crossed that gap for us. We can put that image up on the screen. He crossed that gap for us so that we can come back to God. That's the gospel in a nutshell. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that doesn't just mean life after death. That means life in this life as well. So if you're carrying something today, you don't have to take it with you. You don't have to carry it out of this place. Today is the day that you can put it down. For some of you guys in here, you need to give your life to Jesus again. Maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the 100th time. But God is calling you back to him. And some of you in here, you have something that you need to give to God. And so I want to give you guys opportunities to do those things today. For the first group, if you've been trying to carry life on your own, if you've been trying to fix yourself, if you've been trying to give to be good enough, I want to just relieve you of that pressure right now, because the Bible tells us that we can't be. We can't do it on our own. We can't change our own life. We can never be good enough. There was a gap between us and God that we could never cross. But Jesus did what you couldn't do. The Bible says he lived the life that you couldn't live, that he died the death that you deserved, and that he is risen. He rose again to give you life. And so today, if you need forgiveness, if you need a fresh start, if you need hope again, if you're ready to follow Jesus, this is your moment right now. If I could have everybody just go ahead and bow your heads. And what we're going to do is I want to give you an opportunity right now to accept Jesus into your heart. And I want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that when we do this, that our relationship is restored between us and God. What we're going to do is, in just a second, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to have you raise your hands. And if you're watching online, there's a link in the chat. I want you to click that, because we want to make sure that nobody does this alone. But we want to follow up with you and encourage you as you take these steps in your walk with God. If you're in here today and you want to accept Jesus into your heart, whether it's for the first time or whether you're coming back to him after a long time, when I count to three, go ahead and raise your hand all across this place. Ready? One, two, three. If you're in here, go ahead and raise your hand high. Got a couple hands going up here, a couple hands in the middle here. Anybody else? Come on, this is your moment. This is the reason that you came to Easter today. This is the reason that God brought you here, was to give your heart to him, to come back to him again today. You guys can go ahead and put your hands down. If there's anybody else, though, if you want to just signify by raising your hands. We've got somebody coming around right now. Let's do this. Let's all of us pray a prayer together. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask God, we're going to say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. What that means is that we're saying, God, I trust that you have a bigger picture than I have. I trust that you know more than I do, and I trust that in you, my life is going to be better. So I'm gonna allow you to make the decisions. I'm gonna place my trust in you. So everybody, let's go ahead and pray this prayer together. Why don't you guys go ahead and repeat after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I know that I've sinned and I've caused a separation between us. Please forgive me. I want you to be Lord of my life. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart. Help me. Lead me. Direct me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give these guys a hand? Come on. And all the angels rejoice. That's what the Bible teaches us, is that all of the angels rejoice when one person gives their heart to God. Hey, come on, somebody. He is risen. Amen. All right. Well, for the rest of us in here, and even for those that just raised your hand, I want to give you an opportunity as well. And so we're gonna take a moment right now just to give over whatever it is that we carried with us. Because the amazing thing about having a relationship with God is that when we're going through hard times, we can say, here, can you carry this for me for a minute? And he does. And he takes it away from us. The Bible says that his burden is easy, his yoke is light, that when we come to him, we can find rest for our souls, that because of what God did, we can have hope, we can have healing, we can have forgiveness. We sang that song earlier about the mighty name of Jesus, and in the mighty name of Jesus, we can find freedom, we can find hope, we can find deliverance. And so if you're in here today, and you're saying to yourself, life is just heavy, it's hard. I know Jesus, I'm trying my best to follow Jesus, but I just need some help. I just need to give it over to God. If you would just, we're gonna pray for just a minute. We got some music playing. We're just gonna spend a moment right now just to give this over to God. Say, God, I'm tired of carrying this. And I want you to take it from me. Because I believe that you rolled the stone away. And I believe that the resurrection power of God is still at work in us today. So whatever it is, just out loud, it can be under your breath, but name that thing. God, I'm giving over my financial worries to you. God, I'm giving over that relationship to you. God, I'm giving over my back pain. I'm giving over my diagnosis. God, I'm giving over that financial pressure. God, I'm giving over these burdens that I've been carrying. God, I'm giving it to you today. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is at work inside of you. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing right now. God, I just believe that as people are praying to you, God, that you are relieving them of this burden. Your word says that we don't have to be anxious about anything, but in everything we can pray, and that when we do, we will receive your peace. God, that before we see a change in our circumstance, we can see a change in our attitude, and we can see a change in our disposition. And so, God, I pray that right now, God, your peace would flood people's hearts. God, that you would move on the inside of us. God, that we would feel your spirit right now. God, that we would know that you are with us. God, that we would trust you, that you are taking care of this thing. God, we give these things over to you right now. Because God, we believe and we have hope that you are doing something new. God, pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are good. Just take a few more seconds right now just to worship him. Because he is good. Bible says his love endures forever. God, we worship you. God, we worship you. In Jesus' name. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God, we believe that, Lord, you are giving us peace today. God, that whatever the trial, God, that you are being gracious, that you are turning your face towards us. God, that you are not distant, but you are near. And that, God, because of what you've done, we can have hope for the future. God, we thank you that the tomb was empty. And because of that, everything changed. Because of that, everything is different. Because of that, we can have hope. God, I pray that you would give us that hope today. Lord, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that you are making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. He is risen. Amen. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for celebrating with us on Easter. I just want to encourage you guys, tomorrow morning, you're going to get up, and life is going to look the same as it did yesterday. But there is a new truth that I hope that you guys leave here with, and that is that the resurrection has new life for all of us, new hope for all of us, a new purpose and a new plan. And so I want us to walk in that resurrection as we leave today. When you guys get ready to go, out in the parking lot, out in the field, we're going to have an egg hunt out there. Would encourage you guys to stay. We've got popcorn because we want to celebrate, because we believe that he is risen. God bless you guys. Have a great Easter Sunday.